Good morning, everyone. We continue to be in the desert in Deuteronomy on the other side of the Jordan River, waiting for Israel to cross. God is reminding them of what's important to him through Moses. And here we have it, chapter 17 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep which has a blemish or any defect, for that is a detestable thing to the Lord your God. You had to bring an animal that was worthy of sacrifice. Again, it'd be easier and less costly to bring a lame one, a crippled one, or a sick one to be sacrificed. But you're supposed to bring God your best sacrifice. And that's what God did in sending his son. Jesus was the unblemished one. He was the one who was without sin, who ended up being then able to take our sin. So God followed his own rules in sending Jesus, the unblemished one. If there is found in your midst, in any of your towns, which the Lord your God has given you, a man or a woman who does what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, by transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, or the sun, or the moon, or any of the heavenly hosts, which I have not commanded, and if it is told you, and you have heard of it, then you shall inquire thoroughly. Behold, if it is true, and the thing certain, that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, then you shall bring out that man or that woman who has done this evil deed to your gates, that is, the man or the woman, and you shall stone them to death. On the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he who is to die shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. The hand of the witnesses shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people, so you shall purge the evil from your midst. God, in setting up his theocracy, recall that he was, you know, setting up a government that was going to be governed essentially by him and by judges. The priests were going to be very involved in this. And he was setting up, he wanted us to be created in his image and likeness and be fruitful and multiply. And God didn't want to set up a society that was going to be involved in all kinds of false and pagan worship. So he was setting up a very harsh penalty so that they would worship him and worship him alone. He was trying to create a world that was in love with him and worshiping him. And he didn't want it intermixed with all kinds of false gods. It is interesting that when you look at the justice of God, they were supposed to inquire thoroughly, and then it had to be at least two or three witnesses, consistency, and you know, the two or three witnesses would know, by the way, that this person was going to be subject to death. So they were going to have to really be sure that something wicked had happened in unity about it. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised in mankind's grace and mercy if sometimes they overlooked what they felt was minor or whatever because they just didn't want to be a part of, you know, having someone killed for it. But yet this is what God set up because he wanted people to purely worship him and worship him alone. Now, we've talked about this many times, but we don't live in a theocracy anymore. We've handed over the government to a secular government. It happened that way in Jesus's day, although his government was different than ours. But, you know, in America, the church is not in charge of the government. It's not a theocracy. So now, you know, we have a plurality of worship. You can worship whatever you want in America. And we obviously couldn't enforce this kind of a law anymore. We live in a different age and a different era, but this is what God set up for the people of the promised land in Israel. And it's interesting or good to know what God was after. I think that's what we can see in this. And that was a pure soul worship of him alone, even though we can't enforce it like this to this day. Now we're trying to win the world to Jesus. We're trying to still worship him and worship him alone, but we're trying to be witnesses and to make disciples and help people to see that Jesus is Lord and Savior and to follow him. All right, verse 8. If any case is too difficult for you to decide between one kind of homicide or another, between one kind of lawsuit or another, and between one kind of assault or another, being cases of dispute in your courts, then you shall arise and go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses. So they were supposed to kind of like in their own community govern these things, but then when they couldn't, then bring it likely to what ended up becoming Jerusalem to get judgment there. So you shall come to the Levitical priest or the judge who is in office in those days, and you shall inquire of them, and they will declare to you the verdict in the case. You shall do according to the terms of the verdict which they declare to you from the place which the Lord chooses. And you should be careful to observe according to all that they teach you, according to the terms of the law which they teach you, and according to the verdict which they tell you, you shall do. So, you know, God was going to establish, you know, places where there would be judges that they could go to. You shall not turn aside from the word which they declare to you to the right or to the left. So you're supposed to honor the verdict. The man who acts presumptuously by not listening to the priest who stands there to serve the Lord your God, nor to the judge, that man shall die. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel. Then all the people will hear and be afraid and will not act presumptuously again. And I'm sure with this kind of a harsh penalty that people would want to be very careful to not worship anything but God alone. And I'm sure if things would have worked out the way that God had designed originally, we'd have a much better world because people would be following God in his ways and it would lead to treating each other well. Now we're filled with, you know, all kinds of atheistic things and a plurality of gods, and people are, you know, killing each other over their faith. And we have so much atheistic, just, you know, injustice in our world and murderers and, you know, whatever, people who are raping and doing all kinds of things. I mean, we have a huge population base that knows nothing of God and isn't following him. And there's a lot of crime in our world as a result. So I think God had a better objective than what we have accomplished here on earth. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, and you possess it and live in it, and you say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations who are around me, you shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your countrymen, and you shall set as king over yourselves. You may not put a foreigner over yourselves who is not your countryman. Isn't that interesting? We have that in America. You know, you have to have someone who is born or a citizen of the United States. I believe even born is supposed to be the law. That might have been violated in the past, but it's the intention of our country that this would be the case as well. And isn't it interesting that although they have a theocracy, God is already beginning to understand that someday they will have a king. However, that's not going to turn out so good. Moreover, he shall not multiply horses for himself. And right away, I got to thinking of Solomon. You know, one of the grandest days in the history of Israel is when Solomon was king. David made the plans for Jerusalem. They ended up, you know, building the Jerusalem and the temple, and Solomon now became king, and he had a lot of wisdom, but he didn't follow Deuteronomy 17, as you shall see here. Moreover, he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor shall he cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses, since the Lord has said to you, you shall never again return that way. He shall not multiply wives for himself, and Solomon had like 1,000 concubines, or else his heart will turn away, nor shall he greatly increase silver and gold for himself. And Solomon did that as well. Now it shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. It shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Look at that. God wanted his king to read the word of God all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen. He was supposed to be a humble king following God, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, so that he he and his sons may continue long in his kingdom in the midst of Israel. And Solomon did not do this well. He violated many of the principles of Deuteronomy 17. And after Solomon died, his two sons took over. They became adversaries to one another, and the kingdom was divided. Israel went to the north with 10 tribes. Judah and Benjamin went to the south and had Jerusalem with 2 tribes. And Israel was divided right in the next generation after Solomon because of his waywardness and what he did wrong. And man as king just did not honor God the way they should. And as a result, they paid the penalty. It's as though God knew what would happen. And what a great thing it would be to have a king that reads the word of God, that have a king that fears the Lord his God. And it's been a while since we have, you know, had that kind of a ruler. You know, I do think there's some wisdom in the sense that in America today, you're free to worship who you want, but that doesn't mean that God wants to have us use our freedom to worship a plurality of gods. And what a great thing it would be to have someone come in and rule and reign who turns us back to the worship of God and his son, Jesus Christ, and that would honor the word of God. According to our Constitution, we couldn't force people to worship him, but we could have a great example of a president who would lead in that way. It'd be great to have that kind of bold spiritual leadership one day again. Well, until that day, let's make sure you and I each are following the Word of God and reading it, and praise God that you're following along in the Bible here, this 3-year plan, and taking in the Word of God. It's good and right, and it pleases the Lord, and it'll help us to stay on track with Him. God bless you all.